praise. I am so excited about this day. Amen. God has been so good to us. God has put each and one of us in a beautiful place. We that are saved today, God has given us eternal life. Amen. So I am so grateful. I am so thankful because of his goodness and his grace and his mercy. I'm excited about my family that's here today. It's good to see each and every one of them. It's good to see my friends. I'm so happy to see my brother Milton States and my older brother Glenn States. I'm just excited, man. I'm excited about that. Amen. 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 I tell you, God has been good to us to see my brother here with me today. My brother Glenn States, I still owe him a big favor for beating up that bully for me some 40 years ago. Even though he's the smallest one in the family, but Pastor Smith, did he have a knockout punch? He had a knockout punch. Yes, and I thank God for my brother Milton. Milton is the one that introduced the Lord to me. Amen. Amen. Never forget that. That's amazing, because God is good. And also to a good friend of mine over in the corner, it's good to see Joseph Barnes, my co-worker. Amen. I thank God for you, Joe. Joseph, God have brought him a mighty long way in a short time. Amen. He lost his spouse after being together some 30-something years. Amen. And here he is today. I tell you, and I thank God for Elvin Ledet. Elvin and I, we did the eulogy for Joseph, and the Lord is blessing him. I thank God for you, Joseph. Amen. 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 And it's also good to see Minister McCoy and his lovely wife, Shakita McCoy. I thank God for you all. Hey, God is good. And also my sister-in-law, Amelia Johnson. I thank God because God is good. Like I say, I'm excited about this day. I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing for Bless Old Bible Church. Yet we went through some things and we're still going through some things, but God is taking us through the storm. He's politely taking us through a storm. Amen. So truly, I thank God for that. Today's title of the message is Resurrection. I know it's not Easter, and I couldn't wait till April of 2019, so I'm just filled up to preach this today. Amen. Amen. But God is good. And I want you to open your Bible with me, would you, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Amen. And I'm going to begin to read at the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Now, in these four verses, there are four points that I have. Four features regarding the resurrection that I'm going to discuss with you this afternoon. There is the preacher of the resurrection. The Old Testament of resurrection. The person of resurrection and the reason of the resurrection. But before I go there, let me indulge you just a brief moment concerning 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, the believers at the Corinthian church were having a problem concerning the resurrection of the dead, their own bodily resurrection. They weren't having a problem concerning the resurrection of Christ. They believed that. They were already Christians, and they believed that. There had arisen some among them who denied the resurrection of the dead. And if you look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the 12th verse reads like this. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? How could you deny your own physical resurrection? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is in vain. Now, as I was saying, the Corinthians were having a problem with this because these Gentile Greeks didn't believe in it. The Greeks did not believe in a bodily resurrection. They believe in the immortality of the soul, that the soul will live forever with a certain identity of his own. But they believe also that the body was evil, that it was corrupt. They believe that whatever was material or physical was corrupt because it was evil. And the worst possible thing to ever imagine would be the thought of when you die, you will live in an evil, corrupt body for eternity. And that would be a horrible thing. And so this idea was then brought into the Corinthians church by people who have been converted by this Greek culture, who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but were struggling with the ideal of a physical resurrection. You follow me. You all follow with me on this one here. In the book of Acts chapter 17, when Paul was talking to the Greek philosophers on Mars Hills in Greek and talking about the resurrection, they were stunned. They were shocked. These same Greek philosophers were the ones that approached Paul with these two questions in this same chapter, verse 35. How are the dead raised, and what kind of body would they receive? I'm going to read a few verses out of the book of Acts, chapter 17, starting with the 18th verse. Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers, Greek philosophers, encounter him. And some say, what do this worthless babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods or other deities. Why would these Greek philosophers say that? Because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. So when they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, another name for the court hill in Greece, saying, may we know what this new teaching is which you're proclaiming. Speaking of the teaching concerning the resurrection, and in verse 35 through 49, he gave them in great details and insight of the resurrected body. He answered their two questions, how are the dead raised and what body would they receive? And in those verses, verse 35 through 49, he gives them an illustration of resurrection, the form of resurrection, the contrast of resurrection, and finally, he points at Christ's physical resurrection so they can see exactly what this thing was. So the writer here is saying, if you already believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, why are you in denial of your own physical resurrection? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall also raise you out of the grave. And the more you get involved with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you will see it's not particularly about the resurrection of Christ, although that is foundational to the resurrection. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. His resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation fact of which Christianity is built. If Christ be not raised from the dead, your faith is in vain, and we are all in our sins. Amen. In the book of Acts, Paul taught in the 24th chapter, there would be a resurrection of the dead, both of the saved and unsaved. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 16, for our citizenship is in heaven, or our lifestyle is in heaven, which we wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That tells us we will have a body like his glorious body. His was a body that can speak, that can socialize, as we saw after the Lord resurrected, and had many eyewitnesses. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples five different times. First to Mary Magdalene, then to the other women, then to Peter, then to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, then that evening to quite a few of his disciples in the upper room. A week later, or 8 days later, the same room, again he appeared to his disciples, this time Thomas being present. Later, he appeared to seven of his disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, then to the 11 on a mountain in Galilee. Then some 25 to 30 years after Jesus' resurrection, Paul wrote this letter that I'm reading to you today. Paul said in that sixth verse that some 500 eyewitnesses saw him at one time. Then he appeared to his brother, his half-brother James. Then 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended to heaven in the presence of his disciples from the Mount of Olives. And then, out of due time, apostle, I like to call him that, his greatest enemy, Saul of Tarsus, better known as Paul. And then 66 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he appeared to John, the Apostle John, on the island of Patmos. So you see, there were many eyewitnesses after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus also taught the resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, verse 28, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live," verse 29, "and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Everybody will be resurrected. Some to the resurrection of life, said Jesus. Some to the resurrection of damnation. Every human being from Adam to the last person will rise from the dead, even the children of the devil. And these resurrection events will not take place at the same time. But everybody will be resurrected. When a man dies without Christ, his soul's spirit goes into the abode of the wicked. His soul and spirit enter hell, where God present is not there for relief or comfort. For a believer whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment he or she dies, his soul's spirit goes into the presence of the Lord. And, amen. Amen. And that's when you hear those old sayings, absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So when a man dies, immediately the soul of that person either goes out of the presence of the Lord or into the presence of the Lord. And what I am saying this morning, Blessed Hope Bible Church, in resurrection, God will raise up a body. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, how the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise and shall join that immortal soul. There will be a bodily resurrection both of the believers and unbelievers. The ungodly will receive a body suited for eternal damnation, suited for eternal hell, and cast into the lake of fire. For we that are saved, we that believe, we shall have a new kind of body, a glorified body. Amen? A body to meet our soul that has already gone to its destiny. Amen? So you see, 1 Corinthians 15 is written primarily not to prove the resurrection of Christ to us, to the believers and the Christians. And it's not written to try to convince the unsaved that he rose again. it's written, it talks about our bodily resurrection. Amen. It's talking about me. It's talking about you. This is personal. It's talking about when we die and go into the grave, how God is going to raise us up again. I see myself in this chapter. This would happen to every one of us. The unsaved, they will go their way, and the saved will go the opposite way. In the book of Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt and shame. The unsaved will experience a physical resurrection, exist in hell and the lake and fire, and the lake of fire. And we that are saved will also experience a physical body resurrection and go on and live with the Lord forever with eternal peace. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Now, I said earlier that I have 4 points that I'm going to bring out to you. Let's go to the first one, the preacher of the resurrection, or the spokesperson of the resurrection. Let's see here. Give me 1 second. Okay, I got some stuff on here. Now, God called a very unique man to be his spokesperson. God revealed to this man the mystery of the church that was hidden from the past generation and from the people. As he said in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and also in the book of Colossians chapter 1. This man is very intimate with his readers, very personal with his hearers. The intimacy that I pull out of these verses are this. I declare to you the gospel, the good news. I preach to you and you received. Again, he said, I preach to you unless you believed in vain. And he said, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. The writer here is saying, this message is not new to you. You have already believed. You have already experienced the resurrected message. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We that are saved have already experienced a spiritual resurrection. And this message has made us what we are today, the living church. Faith come by hearing, and that's hearing the word of God. In every one of the writers' 13 epistles of the New Testament, the preacher make it very known who he is and has a deep concern that the readers understand who he is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And in a few other epistles, he calls himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ, someone who's a slave by choice, by love, by affection. And this remarkable Jew with Greek education and Roman citizenship, this man with an incredible ability as a leader, a fine example to any one of us in church that's in leadership. Because as leaders today, we have failed God. And that's not being said by Brother States. The Bible has told us that. In the book of Isaiah, God said, because of my leaders, they have caused my people to err and stumble. That's what God said. But this leader here, the Apostle Paul, he was a fighter, highly motivated, determined, brilliant, specially called and converted by God himself on the road of Damascus. The man who completed 3 missionary journeys preaching the good news from Jerusalem to Macedonia. Paul was that preacher. God worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, this great apostle who could break prison walls to bend through prayer, but yet being a prisoner himself. This man who could lay hands on the sick and they would be healed, who could bring back to life the dead by the power of God, but yet could not heal his own affliction because the power was of God. in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, when the disciples came together in the breaking of bread. Paul preached long in the midnight hours. And there was a young man by the name of Eutychus who was falling asleep. And he fell down from a third story loft and he died. And Paul stopped preaching. He went down and embraced the lad. And by the power of God in Paul's life, Eutychus was given back his life. Paul is that preacher. Paul is the man who God put in the auditorium to preach to kings concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul stood in the Roman auditorium before King Agrippa and Queen Bernice and the Roman governor Festus and Felix and all the leaders of the city and anyone else who had wealth and authority. And Paul strongly, fearlessly telling them, your riches and your gold cannot save you, for you yourself are blind and in darkness. And in the book of Acts, the 25th chapter, Paul preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I stand before you saying no other things than that which the prophet and Moses said would come, that Christ would suffer and that he would die and be the first to rise from the dead and live forever. And this is the message, the good news that I got from the law and from the prophet, that Christ must suffer and be raised from the dead. And there you have the preacher of the good news. Let's give the Lord a praise. Here we have the Old Testament of resurrection. Let's look at the third and fourth verse. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Now, what does he mean by that, according to the scripture? He is speaking of Old Testament scripture. The Apostle Paul means that Jesus' death and his resurrection was prophesied in the Old Testament. In the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 26 and 27, ought not that Christ suffer these things and enter into his glory? 27 verse. And beginning with Moses and all the prophet, he expounded to them in all Old Testament scripture, all things concerning the death and the resurrection of Christ. And in the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, Adam and Isaac goes up to a mountain. I'm sorry, Abraham and Isaac goes up to a mountain. Abraham lift his dagger to strike Isaac in the heart, to offer him up as a sacrifice. God stopped him and provide a substitute animal to be a sacrifice. And this here is a beautiful picture of the substitutionary atonement. Amen. Jesus came, people, to take the center place and satisfy the law. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. In a 22nd numbers of Psalm, just to give you greater details of the suffering of Christ, the very words that Jesus spoke on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. The 22nd numbers of Psalm give great detail of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, some 700 years before the birth of Christ, that chapter 53, we see a clear picture of the sacrificial lamb who dies for the sins of the world, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fall on him, and by his stripes we are heal. Amen. The entire Old Testament sacrificial system is a glorious type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of the thousand lambs and thousand goats, every one of them are a type of Jesus Christ. Everyone was a picture that someday the final lamb would come and shed his blood. And when you look at that fourth verse, and according to the scripture, he rose from the dead. in the 16th numbers of Psalm, the 10th verse, predicting the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption, because his soul was committed to the Father. And on the third day, according to the scripture, he will return to his body. And there you have the promise of the resurrection. Let's give the Lord a prayer. Amen. I'm almost there. Here's the heart of the message. The person of the resurrection. The person of the resurrection was declared to be the Son of God with power through the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. If he had not risen, we would have not known whether he was what he claimed to be. This person of resurrection, he had to be God to conquer sin, death, hell, and Satan. He had to be God to forgive man for sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that to whomsoever. Amen? Amen. Okay. There is no name in heaven nor in earth that man must be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. We have it here, people. We have it here. We have the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power to save. There's power to bring back the dead. The name of Jesus Christ is a strong arm. It's a tower. When you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's peace, and there's comfort in Jesus' name alone. In the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, verse 39, the Lord said, search the scripture. He told the Jews to search the scripture, the Old Testament scripture, for they are they which speak of me. And on the road to Emmaus, he said to them, opening up the scripture, he spoke of all things concerning himself, beginning at Moses and the prophet. He said, if you knew the scripture, you would have known these things. What things? What things? Jesus' birth, the book of Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. If you knew these things, you would have knew his ministry. The book of Zacharias, chapter 9, verse 9. He said, if you have known these things, you would have known the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, concerning the 70 years prophecy. And that 9th verse predict the precise date that Jesus, the Messiah, would be cut off. Amen. And the 40th numbers of Psalms. Then said the Lord, behold, I come in the scripture of the book. It is written of me. Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. Hear him, speaking of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, before Abraham, I was. The word of God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Do you know there are so many people in church that are teaching there are other ways to the Father, to eternal life, but by Christ. But the word of God said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Jesus said, I am the water of life. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Paul said it was promised. The resurrection of Jesus from the holy prophet, from the Old Testament scripture, explaining that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. Apostle Paul said, Jesus, whom I preach to you, the Christ who died for the sins of the world, is true. And I'm going to say this to you all, Blessed Hope Bible Church, this morning. Don't you ever for a moment question the holiness of the scripture. In 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never came by the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel of John chapter 1, the last of the Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God that cometh, take away the sins of the world. Amen. And so my conclusion this afternoon is this here. So why did the Apostle Paul preach the resurrection of Christ? Why was the promise of the resurrection proclaimed? Why did the person of the resurrection come? For one reason, for his name. What I am saying this afternoon, everything should be done to the glory of God. The purpose of the resurrection is to bring glory to the Father. Jesus died to please the Father. The Lord Jesus said, all that I have done, that the Father will be glorified. This simply means everything is focused on the glory of God. I know there are some of you out there, including myself, will say the purpose of the resurrection of Christ so I can be saved. And that's good, but that's secondary. Others will say the purpose of the resurrection of Christ is to keep me out of hell. And that's true. That's scripture, but it's secondary. And so many have said the purpose of the resurrection of Christ so I can go to heaven and experience the eternal love of God. That is so true, because that's in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. But people, this morning, but that's also secondary. But again, the number one reason of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the Father will be glorified. Philippians chapter 2, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Salvation is truly of the Lord. Today is time to examine ourselves. Amen. Starting up here with myself, the preacher, examine myself whether I am in the faith. Romans 10 and 9 say, if you confess with me the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that simple, you will be saved if you believe that. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. At this time, I will love, if you're able, everyone to stand up on your feet and just repeat after me. If you're able. And just repeat after me. Father, forgive me for my sins. And let us love one another. Amen. We truly thank God for the reading of the Word of God. Mm.